Hi, this is David Wood. Welcome back to Wood on Words, the podcast for all things writing and publishing. I really did not want to record today. It's one of those things. It's not that I'm not enjoying the podcast, but I am cranking through the second draft of Neptune's Key, my next David DeBoard book. And you know, I'm making such good progress with it that I just didn't want to stop. And, you know, sometimes that's a reality. And in other circumstances, I might have put the other task aside and kept on with the writing, but, you know, this is a commitment I've made. I'm trying very hard to keep to my every Wednesday schedule with the podcast, and it's probably good for my mental health to take a little break and do something else and just talk about what's going on. So that's the biggie, is working on Neptune's Key, and it's really interesting when I do a second draft of a book that I have written solo, because with a lot of writers, like the advice you hear Stephen King give is to keep revising, but once you've eliminated no more than 10%, that's a good time to figure that you're done. And I don't eliminate when I write because of the way I do first drafts is, it's heavy plot, very light on description. And even though I work from an outline, I'll usually add in ideas and details and things that come to me along the way, and I'll take notes. So invariably, when I go back to do the second draft, I'm going to be putting in more instead of less. And sometimes that's, adding in new scenes or chapters, but most of the time it's just simply a matter of adding some description, adding in a little of the five senses, improving the dialogue, making things a little more clear, replacing words with better word choices, or getting rid of repeated words and replacing those. Inserting some foreshadowing of things that I wound up doing toward the end. Could be any of those things. But basically, I guess a lot of it also is just that I tend to write very tightly. I have never been one to fall in love with my words and just write and write and write. I've always had a good sense of what a scene needs to do, and I don't really fall into the habit of doing the same thing in more than one scene. And also, I make sure that every scene serves the plot in some way, whereas with a lot of writers, that doesn't always happen. And that's one of my criticisms of a lot of indie writers, is that sometimes there will be entire scenes that just don't need to be there at all. Either there's nothing in there that advances the plot or provides essential information, or the little bits that are important could be moved into a different chapter. So, in generally, I just tend to not be the sort of writer who needs to have a lot of things taken away. So, you know, I finished this book, and it's just going to be a very short novel. It was 44,000 words at the end of the first draft, and I am just a little more than 50% of the way through, maybe 55%, and I've already added 2,500 words just by cleaning it up as I go and doing the things that I mentioned. I haven't done any added scenes or anything like that. It's just improving what I've already written has taken me to that point. And, you know, I will probably get over 50,000 because there's a scene that I'm thinking about adding. And in this case, it's not going to, trying to think of the words I want to use here. Basically, I think it's an interesting battle scene that could, you know, just make one chapter a little more exciting, but it's not essential. So as I read through, I'm going to decide if it really works. And even if I don't, just at the rate I'm going with cleaning up and fixing, it'll probably get over 50,000 words. And so that's where I am on that one. And I expect that I'll be done with this second draft by the end of the week, maybe tomorrow at the pace I'm working. And then third draft is usually things like searching for the word was as a way of seeking out passive voice, searching for ing verbs and looking for ways to clean those up, searching for dialogue tags and looking to see if they're necessary at all. A lot of people, the common advice is just use the word said rather than a more distracting dialogue tag, but a lot of really skilled writers have also said that while said is better than a different dialogue tag, no dialogue tag at all is often even better than that, especially if you have action within a paragraph that makes it obvious who's talking. So I do look for opportunities. I don't necessarily get rid of all my dialogue tags by any stretch, but I go through and I ask myself, honestly, do they need to be there? So that's usually third draft, is things like that that are just improving the quality of the prose. And then I'll make one more pass using Grammarly and the grammar and spelling check on Microsoft Word, just to see if there's anything I didn't catch that I could hopefully catch before. It does go to an editor, obviously, and beta readers, but the more I can fix, the better. And so that will be this week, and so hopefully it will be off to be edited very soon, and it's up for pre-order. It's going to come out on the 31st, and I expect probably not next week, but the week after, I'll make my Passover Blood Codex, which is the next Jake Crowley adventure. Excuse me, I did it again. I love to confuse the names of books in a series. Anubis Key is the new Jake Crowley book, the sequel to Blood Codex. So I expect to be working on that week after next, and that will go up for pre-order to be published sometime in June. And then I'm tentatively planning on working on the next Dane Maddock book, Locke. I say tentatively. That is the plan. I'll just also be juggling some other things. There's a lot of stuff that's just in the brainstorming stages and planning stages. It's going to be coming up the next, might be next year or two before they bear fruit, but a lot of things happening behind the scenes that are a lot of fun. So that is my writing world. And my co-author, Sean Ellis, messaged me to point out that in the previous episode, I was yet again confusing the names of my books. The new Myrmidons book is called Mystic, still doing well, and book one was called Destiny, and I apparently was mixing those up, so I apologize. But hey, if you haven't read the series, you might want to start with Destiny anyway, but those certainly can be read in any order. But yeah, I'm getting old. I publish a lot of books. I'm involved with co-authoring a lot of books, and I mix them up sometimes. So, you know, I mentioned book release for Mystic went really well, and really rapid releases, Neptune's Key this month, Anubis Key next month. And so, since last time, we talked about the pre-publishing decisions you have to make as far as how you're going to publish an ebook, paperback. I thought it was logical to move along to pre- and post-launch strategies, sort of pre- and post-launch checklist type stuff, things that you want to think about and do when you've already made your publication decisions, your book's formatted, all that stuff. And some of this will be a little bit repetitive. I apologize for that. Most of it will not. But anyway, these are the things starting even months ahead of publication that I would think about, and other writers have told me that they think about and do leading up to a new release, and things they do shortly thereafter. So let's jump into this. You've got a book you're working on. You have a pretty good idea when it's going to be ready to go. So the first thing we want to talk about is things that you'll do well in advance. Know your genre and subgenre. We've talked about that before. That allows you to pay close attention to what's going on with other new releases, especially indies. Don't pay quite as much attention to big publishing house book covers, product description, and pricing strategies, because a lot of these people, as we've said before, they're going to sell on their name alone and what publishing clout their publisher might have, marketing clout, that is, and not so much as a result of them making the right decisions with those things. You can certainly look at them, but definitely take a look at what the indies are doing. Well in advance, get you a good book cover. This is a great promotional tool, and I know we say it all the time, and it almost sounds trite, but it is important to have a good book cover that goes with your subgenre. And as I've said before, start browsing the sites that offer high-quality pre-made covers. Some of them are very affordable. Others have periodic sales. But if you look and set aside just a little bit of money, you can get a good quality cover, assuming you're not able to make your own, which is seldom a good idea unless you're really skilled in that, or you're not able to hire someone. Start browsing these sites well in advance, and get your book cover, a good one, well in advance, so you can, again, use it for marketing. Really study up on the categories and subcategories, particularly on Kindle. They're going to be the best fit for your book, so you can plan out your keywords. And, you know, figure out ones where you're going to get some visibility, not so much so obscure that nobody's ever going to see them, even if you hit the lists, but also not into the broadest categories that are crowded with the bestsellers. And another thing to watch out for is if you don't write some sort of romance, there are still non-romance categories that are starting to get clogged with romance books. For example, somebody writes a romance that the woman is hooking up with a Navy SEAL, so they start putting it in men's adventure and action adventure and things like that. Now, there's still some good visibility in men's adventure. Action adventure, not so much. So also watch for the ones where the books that really aren't in the subgenre are taking over, and try to get an idea of where you're going to get the most visibility. You can still aim for some of those other categories too, because if you're smart with your keywords, you can get into a bunch. But definitely look for where indies in your subgenre are having some success. Make your decision about whether or not to have a pre-order. There are valid reasons to do each. In short, the good thing about a pre-order is that you can extend your time on the hot new release list if you make it. If you think you're going to sell enough to hit a hot new release, you can be on there for the entire pre-order period plus the 30 days after release. The advantage of not doing pre-order is you're likely to get a burst of sales on your new release day. So if you're not someone who is yet at the point where you can feel very confident you're going to hit some charts either way, then maybe it is your best bet to concentrate your sales on and around release day to try to get a jump up into some of the charts. So that's probably the biggest thing for me, is just to be realistic about your ability to, you know, what kind of sales you're likely to get and whether you need that burst on release day. And also make sure you're the kind of person who can hit deadlines and actually make your pre-order date if you set one up. Another thing you can possibly do is send out advanced review copies to review sites. I don't believe that this leads to a lot of sales, and I wouldn't invest a ton of time into it, but it doesn't hurt, especially if you're familiar with some bloggers that are open to doing that. And one cool thing, when Primordial was released by Cohesion Press, that's one of my recent books with Alan Baxter, is they did find book bloggers to review it, and quotes from those make good teaser material for you to start sparking interest, assuming the reviews come out ahead of time. If not, you can still use them as post-release ways of generating interest in your book. So it is nice to have them. So keep an eye out if you find places that will review books that are very much like what you write. There's no harm in reaching out. It certainly will not hurt. You can also solicit blurbs and endorsement from other authors. Now, this is another thing that isn't critical. I don't even do it all the time anymore. But just like reviews, it's nice to have something as a teaser. Hey, first blurb came in for new book, and you post it. The other cool thing is, if you use this author's endorsement in your product description, I usually give my book description, and then underneath it, praise for David Wood and the Dane Manic Adventures, or whatever series it is, and I put in some of these blurbs, that author's name becomes one of your searchable keywords. And if that author maybe compared you to another terrific author, or to compared your book to a certain book, those words also become searchable keywords for your book. So those are things you can work on well in advance. Now, we need to talk about sparking interest as we get closer to that release date. As we've talked about before, hopefully you have set up a street team or an ARC group. Get your advanced review copies out to them so they'll be ready with your reviews when you publish the book, and they're ready to spread the word when the book comes out. Author friend of mine who's enjoyed a lot of success has said she likes to give away a single advanced review copy paperback on Goodreads. I haven't done Goodreads giveaways in a while because I didn't see any evidence that they moved the dial at all. I even did them with Griffinwood books that literally had sold, you know, zero ebook or paperback copies for months. Did a Goodreads giveaway. That book continued to sell zero copies for months. But this person says that it's a good idea for a pre-order because Goodreads readers will hopefully put this on their to-be-read thing, and it'll generate some advance interest in your new release. So I'm definitely going to start trying that anytime that I actually get my act together enough to have an ARC paperback ready well in advance. So consider that. Get your paperback ready early enough that you can give away a book ahead of time on Goodreads. That was a pretty cool idea she had. And then start posting teasers on your Facebook author page. You can also do it on your website if you want. I definitely do it on my author page. And I spread them out, 6 weeks ahead, a month ahead, depends on how far apart I'm releasing other books. You can do teasers like a cover reveal. That's why we get our cover in advance. Announcing the official release date, but don't do it unless you can commit to it. Then another time you put up your cover image and you add the synopsis of the book. You've written up your cool product description and now they know, exactly what it's about. I don't do them together. At first I start with just the cover because that's something excited. And then by doing cover and synopsis, it's something new and different they haven't seen. If you set up a pre-order, you can share your pre-order link. And again, don't do that at the same time as the other. Spread it out. The other thing I've noticed on Facebook that's happening a lot is if your original post has a link in it, Facebook is going to artificially suppress that post. But if you post a picture or a picture and some text and then use the link for your pre-order or whatever as the first reply, it's going to get a lot more visibility. So that's something to think about. If you just post the pre-order link in the main post, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't likely to see it unless you pay Facebook to boost the post. So I try to get around that by putting the link as a reply, and then I also have the link on my website, things like that. Again, like we mentioned, you can also tease with any blurbs or endorsement you get from other authors. And then finally, I like to periodically share little snippets from the book as I'm going through and revising it. Yesterday, I shared just a funny typo that I caught. But sometimes it can also be fun bits from your book. You need to have a good sense of what people are actually going to enjoy, and keep it very short. I see a lot of authors who will just share several paragraphs from their book, and I read through it, and I'll be like, there's nothing badly written about this, but it's not that funny, it's not that exciting, and it's way too long. I honestly don't know sometimes why authors share the extracts that they share, so keep them fun and keep them short, but do tease those out a bit. Another thing that you might choose to do is post a preview of the first chapter on your website. I sometimes do that, sometimes don't. I will often make that one of my quote-unquote well-in-advance things. If I'm sure that this is going to be what chapter one looks like, I'll make sure I've proofed it really well and put it up a long time before the book comes out. When you get very close to release date, you've already sent your ebooks out to your advanced review group, but you might want to give away a few ebooks of the book that comes before in the series if you have a series. If the new book is not part of a series, you can give away something else. A book that you've written from another series or whatever. That's not nearly as likely to give you any sell-through. But if you've got a series, definitely give away some copies of the previous book or book one in the series if you've got several. And you can do it in a lot of different ways. You can do it in the context of a Facebook party. You can do it for people on your author page if you feel like there hasn't been as much interest in the series as you'd like, or maybe there are some new followers who haven't tried it out yet. Another thing you can do when it's very close to release day is create a custom header for your Facebook author page using the book's cover art and the title and the date that it's going to release. You can do the same on your Twitter, although I don't know how effective that is for sales, but there's no harm. But headers are something that create visibility, and because they go through a Facebook feed as a picture, Facebook is less likely to suppress it. I usually get better engagement when I upload a new header. And again, put the release date on there so people know what's going on. And depending on the timing of your release and what relationships you've cultivated with other authors in your genre, you might be able to do a newsletter swap. If you and another author have new books coming out very close to one another, then each of you might feature the other in their newsletter, and you get, expanded promotion that way. Now, this isn't something I would recommend unless you have a good working relationship with this person and that your books are in the same subgenre and very close to one another. I don't think there's much effectiveness in sharing if the genre is fairly different. And also, don't just approach successful authors out of the blue and ask to do this. Build the relationship first. A lot of authors I know aren't willing to do this unless they've read several of the other author's books because they just feel funny about making that recommendation. So again, build the relationship first, and then the time will come and the day will come when it's more natural to suggest this sort of strategy. So use your best judgment on that and, you know, use common sense. Now, housekeeping items when you're publishing your new book. Your new book should have an invitation for readers to sign up for your newsletter and an invitation to buy another of your books. Both of those should be hyperlinked and put them right after the word "the end" in your ebook. No page break, nothing like that. Because if you put a page break after the end and then you put in your invite to your newsletter, invite to buy your new book, especially in Kindle, the reader is not likely to see it, because what happens is when you swipe past the end, up pops their own solicitation page. Sometimes that solicits your books, sometimes it doesn't. So I like to take advantage of that to invite readers either to the next book in the series, if I'm updating older books, or just another book of mine that I think they'll really like. For example, when Alan Baxter and I put out Blood Codex, the first Jake Crowley book, we didn't have a book two in that series, but we had a book called Dark Rite that we had also co-authored. It was a horror novel, but I thought it would work. It would have enough appeal to the people who read Blood Codex, which is action-adventure but with a dark tone. So I put in the invitation to buy that book, and sure enough, sales went way up on Dark Rite, which had sold nil up to that point. And then when Primordial came out, I went back to Blood Codex, and I changed the invitation to hopefully feed into Primordial. So make good use of that invitation. Now, talking about newsletter invites, some authors like to also put that invitation in the front material of their ebook. I don't see anything wrong with that, but in a lot of apps, it automatically opens to the prologue or chapter one. I don't know how many readers see that invitation, but there's no harm. Another thing you can do is to put a list of your books with hyperlinks in there. Again, reader might or might not see them, but if they're interested enough to close out that solicitation screen that Kindle pops up, or if they're reading in another app, there's a good chance they'll go and take a look at your books. If your book is Kindle exclusive, I like to use Smart URL to create hyperlinks. That way, if they click on, let's say the reader is in the UK and they click on my URL, it'll automatically take them to the UK store. Wow, I'm really stammering today. Spent too much time writing. My brain is off. If my book is wide, I like a service called Books to Read that will set up links to every possible vendor. And by doing that, you're bypassing the requirement, you're avoiding the potential problem of a particular store rejecting your book because of competitors' emails. If I accidentally leave a Kindle link in the book I upload to Draft Digital, Apple is going to reject that thing because it's going to catch the Kindle link, and vice versa. So I like Smart URL for Kindles and Books to Read links for the files that I upload to other stores. Also, in the immediate housekeeping of pre-publishing, we talked about making good use of your keywords. Use them to get into as many appropriate categories as you can. When you set up your Kindle book, you're going to choose two categories, but then your keywords can get you into several others. Remember, as we said, your product description can be used to generate keywords, whether it's from a blurb or endorsement from other authors, or it's just in the way you write your product description. As long as it's appropriate, there might be some keyword-rich descriptions you can write. And remember that if you have other blurbs from previous books, you can use those in your praise for section. Just make sure that you're not misleading. If I am launching a new action-adventure series and I don't have any author blurbs, I won't say praise for insert name of new book. I would just say praise for David Wood, and then use some of these other author blurbs that I've collected over time. That's going to help my keywords. When your new book is ready and the link is up, make sure you've added it to a lot of places. Add it to your website, obviously, and with the buy links there. Hopefully the previous books you have published have your books buy list that has a complete list of all the books you've written, along with hyperlinks. This could be laborious, but periodically you're going to want to go back and update your books buy list and all of your other books. Now, I've got a ton of books out. It's a huge pain in the butt, so I don't do it with every single new release, but I do get it done periodically. Be sure you claim your book in Author Central right away. If you don't know what Author Central is, look it up. I think it's authorcentral.amazon.com, but it's where you control the author page that readers see when they click on your name in Amazon.com. So claiming the book adds it to your catalog. It automatically makes your name appear. And when Amazon gets around to notifying your followers, which sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, claiming it is what can trigger that. But they're very inconsistent about whether or not they do that. Your Amazon author page. Make sure you have your entire catalog listed. What I like to do is have a very brief bio and then have books by David Wood and my complete sectioned out list. Now, it'll be truncated. What's going to happen is that bio is going to be in a narrow column on the left, but the readers will see enough to see that your full list is there and they can click on it to open it up. The reason this is important is because the way your books appear on your Amazon page, when a reader clicks there, it's a hot mess. It's in current order of best-selling status, so it's very difficult for a reader to look at your page and know what all you write and what series they're a part of and what order they go in unless you do this. So I like to add it there for sure in my bio, so it's very easy for the reader to see. Another thing you can do is look at some of the Author Central features like from inside the flap or from the back cover. You can add your complete list of books there and other information too. Now, something that we just alluded to, if your book is part of a series, be sure that you go back to the previous book in the series, and after the end, you put the invitation to buy your new book. So, for example, when Blood Codex comes out, when Anubis Key comes out, Jake Crowley Book 2, I'm going to go back to Blood Codex Book 1, and I'm going to update both my Kindle and my other vendor's file to have an invitation to buy Book 2 of the series. That way, when people discover Book 1 of the series, they're going to click and hopefully buy Book 2 if they enjoyed it. So it's important that you get that set up. Go back and check your previous book. If you don't write in a series, it's still okay to go back to your previous book or any of your books and put an invitation to buy this new one. It's a good marketing tool. We talked about books to read links, smart URL links. Those are handy. Check those out. Now, another thing, when you publish your, I'm assuming you're going to publish ebook and paperback. When you publish your Kindle and you publish your paperback and both have appeared on Amazon, in theory, it is they are supposed to automatically link those up within 72 hours. And for some reason, they almost never do with my books. But it's very simple. You go into your KDP dashboard, click on the help function, and just ask them to link the two versions. Give them the ISBN of the paperback and the ASIN number of your Kindle, and they get it done right away. So give them a couple days, but keep an eye on it. Now, other launch prep that we can talk about. Price point is important. Some authors like to launch at a reduced price as an incentive. Maybe if you launch at $4.99, set up the pre-order or the launch at $2.99 so you can advertise it as 40% off. Maybe you go $3.99 and you advertise it as 20% off. If you choose to do that, make sure you point out this discount, emphasize that it's a limited time offer, because the point is to get extra buys at that lower price and give yourself a good jump. So think about what your price is going to be. Be sure to send something out to your newsletter group. That's the whole point of having a newsletter. It's the most important thing is to use, these are your most devoted readers, hopefully. And so your newsletter announcement has your product description. You might want to say a little something about it. Keep it brief, but I'll start with just a couple sentences from me introducing the book. And then I put in my product description that goes on the Amazon and other pages, my book cover, blurbs from authors if I have it, again, keep it short, and then my buy links. And then make sure there's something else in the newsletter. It's not just buy my book. So what I typically do is, obviously, I kick off with the new book I'm promoting, because frankly, that's probably the thing most of the readers are most interested in. But I also have something about what else is coming soon, what I'm working on. I might feature another book. There might be some just fun little couple paragraph. It might be a thing about me, something anecdotal, something about my writing. Again, keep it short and interesting. And then I end my newsletter with some kind of giveaway. I give away a signed paperback with every newsletter. It's just a way of giving back. Make sure your websites and blogs and any social media where you promote your books are updated. Schedule some Facebook posts. As I said, I like to post the cover and the synopsis as the main post and reply with the links to buy it. And for the most part, I restrict my publishing-related stuff to my author page, but when I do have a new release or a special sale, or like with my funny typo, I will post that on my personal page too, because a lot of friends and family do like to buy my books. And I almost never just share my author page post. I'll write a new post for my personal page. But go ahead and use that for your new release. I think that's okay. I don't, however, recommend setting up that thing where everything you post on your author page automatically appears on your personal page. Because if you do that, what's the point in anybody following your author page if they know they're going to see it just by being your friend on Facebook? Twitter, you can plan some tweets. I don't believe that Twitter is great for book sales, but there's no harm as long as you don't overdo it. Twitter, to me, is mostly about relationships in the community, being interesting, showing people what you're interested in. But it's okay to do it, and I would consider tweeting separately for each vendor, using the appropriate hashtag for whatever that vendor and genre is. Sometimes you do get retweets, you just never know, and spread them out so you're not overdoing it. And again, with Twitter, if you just tweet the link, probably nobody's going to read it. Include your cover image or make a little Twitter ad type thing. It's not literally an ad, but something that would look like an ad. And, you know, tweet it out along with the link. You're going to get a lot more notice and engagement. It's more likely to get a retweet, especially if you have a good-looking cover. Advertisements. The thing I like right now that I'm experimenting with, as I've said, and a lot of people using, are the Amazon ads, the AMS ads. And right now I'm getting enough results that I think they're worthwhile. There are a couple different features. You can have automatic or custom keywords. They have two or three different options. I choose custom keywords, and I use author names and book titles in my genre. Look for popular, new, and upcoming releases that you can add in as your keywords. If your book is part of a series, I think it's worthwhile to run ads for the other books in the series, because while if you're writing standalones like I do, it's possible that a new reader will discover your latest book and go ahead and buy that. But oftentimes, if it looks interesting to them, they're going to want to start at the beginning. So you're going to increase your chances of book one and the entire series being discovered if you advertise several of the books. Another thing you can do, Facebook ads. I am seeing less and less return on investment, but I still do some Facebook ads as part of my launch strategy. I'm careful with my keywords, so I'm targeting readers that I think will really like what I'm doing, and I'm careful with how much I spend. If you publish with Kobo, look at their dashboard, see what kind of ads they're offering. There might or might not be something that's a fit. Now, launch day and after. As we said, post the announcement everywhere. Do your newsletter blast. One thing I've started doing is rather than one newsletter blast on one day, I've started to spread it out on three or four consecutive days or every other day, because having several days of good sales is going to help your rankings more than one really good day and then nothing at all. So I segment my email list. It's very easy to do in MailChimp. I assume it's easy to do in others. That's not essential. I've had good success doing it the other way, but I'm hearing from a lot of authors that spreading out is a good way to help your rankings. The Amazon ads, I like to run them from the very start because they're super cheap. And then I'll save the Facebook ads for when the rankings go down. Usually you see a pretty decent climb for the first 2 weeks of release, and then it falls off the cliff. And that's the point where I might kick in with a Facebook ad and see if it does anything. In the meantime, I'm looking at my Amazon ads, and what you'll see with the keywords that you use, there's a quote-unquote bid amount that you pay for clicks. And if I see a keyword that's getting lots of clicks but nobody's buying, I will decrease the bid on that. I won't eliminate it entirely because those people were at least interested enough in my ad to click on it, or in my book to click on it. And what happens is when people click on any given book page in Amazon, they will from time to time get these follow-up emails saying, based on your browsing history, you might like. So the fact that they're clicking on my book is going to start putting that in Amazon's memory, and they might get re-promoted. So I'll lower the bid amount, but not entirely eliminate it. And then if I see certain keywords that people are clicking on and buying, obviously I'm going to raise my bid amount on that. And you don't have to spend a lot of money at all on Amazon. I think I bid $5 a day per ad. I budget that and it never meets it. So Amazon ads, Facebook ads is a follow-up. Another thing that is cool is that BookBub does new release announcements. If you have a BookBub author profile that has followers, BookBub will send out a new release announcement. Now, in the past, I've had to go in and claim my new book with BookBub. With Mystic, I didn't even have to do it. I don't know how they knew. I guess their system is getting more effective. But actually, before I had planned on using the BookBub announcement, they already were aware of it and had it scheduled. And they'll email you saying, we've scheduled your new release announcement for this date. So what you can do, make sure you've set up a BookBub profile and claimed your books. And at first, you might even want to spread the word, hey, I've got a BookBub profile. You know, please sign up here to be notified about my books. And that way, BookBub notifies people when you have a new release or when you have a BookBub ad. And that's something we'll talk about in another episode. But, you know, sometimes it's the same people who follow you on your page. But I found that I always get a nice little bump. It's not huge, but I do get a bump whenever BookBub sends out a new release announcement. So it is definitely helping. So check with BookBub. If they haven't automatically claimed your book, you go ahead and do it too. Now, speaking of BookBub or any other kind of newsletter service that promotes books, if you're fantasy sci-fi, look at Book Barbarian. Look at places like Robin Reads or Free Booksy. If you put out a new book in a series, give it some time to for you to enjoy that first surge of new sales. But once you get maybe a month out or so, once the sales start to fall, try to get a BookBub ad or some other ad for a previous book in the series. Don't do it with the new one. But, you know, that's another way that you can boost up your, really extend the life of the good sales that you usually enjoy with a new release. So that is, I know that's a lot. Please go to woodonwords.com and take a look at the post because you can see all this in writing. We've talked about a lot of things, but those are things that I have found effective and good practices and that other writers have also found effective. If you have heard of other things, if you've done other things that work, if you have questions, I would love to hear them. Happy to do a follow-up. And I'll probably create a literal checklist, and it'll be something we'll update from time to time when we get feedback from other writers. So I would love to hear from you. Leave it in the comments. Email me. But anyway, good luck with your new release, and we will see you next time.